Hello and welcome back to the Top Teacher Theory. Today, we're diving into a really practical topic for anyone in the classroom, assessing students' readiness and interests right at the start of a unit.
Hi everyone. I love this topic, James, because so often teachers are handed a class and told to just get started, but we have no idea what the students already know or what actually motivates them.
Exactly. And assessing readiness isn't just about finding out who's struggling. It's about making sure our instruction starts at the right level, so we don't waste precious lesson time. Plus, it helps us see which objectives are most important to teach, especially if lots of students get them wrong.
Right. It's also a great way to spot those students who can act as peer tutors or, on the flip side, who might need a bit more scaffolding. And if we know what students are interested in, we can design tasks that actually motivate them.
And all this feeds into what's called a formative loop. Monitoring, reteaching, and extending as needed. The key is to use quick, low-prep but high-impact methods so you get actionable information without losing momentum.
So let's talk about some of these methods, starting with the classic entry ticket. That's basically a short set of questions at the start of a lesson or unit, right?
Yes, think 4 to 6 quick items, a mix of multiple choice, short answers, and a self-rating. You can do it on paper or use something like Google Forms. The idea is to get a snapshot of what students already know and how confident they feel.
And you can scan the responses really quickly for patterns. If you see a lot of incorrect answers on a particular concept, you know that's a key area to address. Plus, you can use the self-ratings to group students or decide who needs extra support.
That's it. Another method is the rapid question bank. Basically a mini-quiz with true, false, or quick multiple-choice questions. Again, it's about speed and objectivity. You reveal the answers, student self-check, and you tally up who needs help where.
I also like the lines or continuum method. It's more physical. You ask a question like, how confident are you with this topic? And students literally stand on a line or in a horseshoe to show how they feel. It's a great way to visualize confidence across the class.
Yes, and it's brilliant for spotting potential peer tutors. The students who place themselves at the I know a lot end can help others. It's fast, low stakes, and really shows the spread of readiness in a very tangible way.
Now, when it comes to interests, an interest inventory can be so revealing. You create a short form with questions about which topics excite them, their preferred ways of learning, or even what kind of final product they want to create, a video, a poster, a report, that sort of thing.
That's a great point. And you can do it anonymously or with names, depending on how comfortable your group feels. The results help you cluster students by interest, or at least offer project options that are likely to motivate them.
There's also the identify the person or mingle activity, where students interview each other about their prior experience. It doubles as a way to build classroom community, and you get a sense of what skills and knowledge already exist in the room.
Exactly. Plus, if you want something high energy, subject-based bingo works wonders. You create a grid with statements like has used a microscope or has coded before, and students circulate to find classmates who match. It's quick, fun, and gives you a broad picture of the cohort's skills and experiences.
And let's not forget about formative probes, like post-it questions or the 3-2-1 method. Students jot down 3 things they learned, 2 questions they still have, and 1 connection they made. Or you can use an inspection triangle to prompt connections and needs.
Right, and all of these methods not only give you actionable data, but they also give students a voice, helping them articulate what they're curious about or confused by.
Effective readiness is another angle, using mood cards or objects to quickly check how students are feeling about tackling the lesson. If you spot a lot of nerves, you know to slow the pace or offer encouragement.
And then there's the simple performance prompt, where you ask students to actually do a short task using the skills you'll be teaching. That's the most direct measure of readiness for performance-based subjects.
Absolutely. And all these methods are designed to be quick. Most of them take between 5 and 15 minutes, and you can use the information straight away. For example, after an entry ticket, you can group students that same lesson.
Speaking of grouping, there are some really useful protocols. You can group by score, high mastery, core group, and those needing extra support. Or you can mix abilities for peer support, making sure each group has a strong student, two middles, and one who needs more help.
Interest-based grouping is brilliant too. If you've got students who are all passionate about a particular subtopic, let them work together. Just make sure each group has at least one person who's confident, or schedule check-ins so no one gets stuck.
Exactly. And for the high performers, you might let them form their own extension group or act as assistant teachers during stations. Meanwhile, those who need more help can get targeted mini lessons, guided practice, or buddy supports.
It's so important to keep groupings flexible. Don't lock students into a low or high group permanently. Use your ongoing formative checks to move students as they grow, and always explain why you've grouped them as you have, so they see it's about their learning needs, not labels.
And once you've got your groups, you can differentiate the tasks. For students needing support, you might offer tiered tasks with more scaffolding, or hands-on stations with teacher guidance. For those who've already mastered the basics, you can compact the curriculum, letting them skip ahead and take on enrichment projects.
If you've got students with a strong interest in a subtopic, offer them a related project, adjusting the assessment criteria to match the challenge. And for mixed groups, role cards and clear rubrics keep everyone on track.
Monitoring is ongoing. As you circulate, ask probing questions, correct misconceptions, and use quick formative probes at least twice a week in the early part of a unit. Be prepared to regroup after a lesson or two, as new data comes in.
And don't forget to document everything. Take photos of posters, scan entry tickets, and store forms in your learning management system. It's all about tracking progress over time.
Also, feedback needs to be quick and targeted, just a sentence or two on what the next small step is. And remember, formative checks aren't summative grades. They're there to inform your teaching, not to label students.
Let's run through a quick teacher checklist. Before the lesson, select your diagnostic items, prep your entry tickets and interest inventories, and decide your grouping thresholds. During the first 15 minutes, administer the diagnostics, tally results, and place students into provisional groups. Then, after the lesson, use the data to design differentiated activities and reassess after your first targeted session.
Practical tips: offer anonymous surveys if students might be shy, balance self-ratings with objective questions, and always pair what you see on paper with your observations of engagement and effect. Rotate peer tutors, keep groupings fluid, and try any new method at least 4 times before deciding whether it works for your context.
And don't forget to use a simple scoring rubric for entry tickets. 3 correct answers plus high confidence means advanced or assistant, 2 correct and neutral confidence for your core group, and 0 to 1 correct or low confidence means targeted support.
Ultimately, by combining these short, well-designed diagnostics, you get immediate, actionable data that lets you group students and personalize tasks in a meaningful way. It's about meeting students where they are and motivating them forward.
Apply these protocols consistently, keep checking in, and you'll create a truly responsive and differentiated classroom. That's the heart of great teaching.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope these strategies help you get to know your students quickly and teach in a way that really makes a difference.
Goodbye, everyone, and happy teaching.